the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Dameshek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to episode number 173 of the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available as always on iTunes and at NFL.com/Shek, S-H-E-K. We're back from Tahoe, me and Black Tie back in Studio 66. No sun burning my face. I'm back in the shelter in the shadows of this cave that we call 66, and I am seated as usual, next to my main man from NFL.com. It's Adam Rank. What's the poop, fella?
Hey, boss. Thanks for having me.
Sure. What a pleasure. I wish we could have had you up in Tahoe.
You know what? That's what I wanted to say. A couple of things. Number one, jealous as heck. Wish I could have been there. Looked like you guys were having a great time.
Oh, we did.
But absolutely, not to go all Adam Shine on you, but absolutely fantastic work.
One
fantastic interview after another. I was enthralled.
Go back and listen to the podcast or look for the video at NFL.com/Shek, S-H-E-K. There's some video highlights up there. We talked with the likes of Brian Urlacher, A.J. Hawk, Chaz Barkley, Joe Buck, John Fox, Stephen Curry. Oh, yes. We dipped our toes in some non-football waters while we were up there, and it was a gay old time to be sure. Brian Urlacher, I guess, is the one that got the most news. Mm-hmm. A.J. Hawk and I did a Michael Jackson duet. That was nice. Chaz Barkley and I debated the origin of matzo balls and so on. So make sure you dig it all up. But the Urlacher one. Oh, let me say hello to who else is joining us here in Studio 66. From all the way across the Atlantic Ocean, it seems like his favorite team is getting more and more buzz. It's not dying down. In fact, it's only accelerating as the Dolphins' 2013 season draws nigh. It's Handsome Hank. He's handsome, eh? Hello, Handsome. How are you?
I am very well indeed. Thank you, Dave. Thank you very much for inviting me to be here. And I'd like to chime in and echo Adam's words. I think you guys did a terrific job in Tahoe last week. And frankly, I don't know how you're going to follow up on that.
Well, we'll see. Well, you know what? You lead me into promoting this episode. Thank you, Handsome Hank. You're a professional. I am not. But we do have legendary wide receiver, the best wide receiver of all time, Jerry Rice, coming up in just a little bit here.
What?
It's true. of the Niners, the Raiders, and Seahawks. I'm going to ask him what the best uniform is. That's one thing for sure.
And yeah. You know, we were supposed to get Michael Jordan last week in Tahoe. But that didn't work out because he didn't show up. So I'm
more upset about not getting Aaron Rodgers, to be honest with you. But that was the one I was.
Aaron Rodgers
sounds like, although all the pictures are that you and Black Tie had a fabulous time. It sounds like you've spent too much time together. Can you give us some insight into some of Black Tie's foibles that maybe we don't know about?
All your concerns about Black Tie and what he's like, you know, when you have extended exposure. Yeah. The Black Tie, you think, wow, I wonder what ugliness lies in, as you peel that onion.
About. Right.
It's all true. He's really a terrible driver. I mean, he is.
Oh, yeah.
He's driving.
Awful. Yeah, we did a road trip to Seattle. I can verify.
He's so bad, but he drives like an old lady. I mean, he drives 20 miles under the speed limit. Yes. And I said, what are you doing? He said, well, it's windy out. What? It's windy out. So that was ridiculous. Then
terrible.
He committed nothing less than a felony, I think. It's a felony. He took the do not disturb sign off of the door at the hotel of the person next to him because he couldn't find his own. So he stole.
And because that room was actually disturbing the peace a ton. So I felt no remorse and I took it. And
wow.
The next night they took it from me again.
You don't know that they're the ones who stole
it
from you.
Trust me, they did. It was definitely that room. And then I stole it again. And then on my way back, though, from the gym, I just got a new one and gave him back. I felt bad at that point, stealing it two nights in a row. But,
wow.
Hey.
It was delightful. Company accepted. Now let's say hello to some good company here. He's been with us for some time now, he and his pal from the Around the League Debate Club. But he comes to us with some sad news today. Here he is, everybody. It's Mark Sessler. What's the poop with you?
Well, I do have some sad news.
Dear.
I mean, I guess in a sense...
Dan has been arrested.
Yeah, Dan. Well, I haven't seen Dan in 10 days, and I'm completely convinced that he probably has been doing something of a legal nature. I'm going to tell you what, though. I have an announcement that I think the company would say this is good news, mm-hmm. but it is it's a little bit sad because it marks the end of potentially our time linking the debate club with this fine show.
I don't understand it. Who decided to give us the hi-hat? This podcast took you under its wing and made you into broadcasters, and now you're flying off.
Well, I mean, I just found out about this myself.
I don't care for it. So no more debate club, but Around the League is getting its own proper podcast, and it's going to be 3 days a week.
Yeah, Debate Club is taking a dirt nap. It is being replaced essentially with the ATL podcast, which will broadcast starting this week with training camp launching Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays.
And that's going to be throughout the season?
It's going to be throughout the season, and they even increase days during the season. That's got you got Greg Rosenthal in there, you've got Chris Wessling, and Hansus and myself will rotate.
No one cares. All right, we've said more than enough about
who
it.
Have I hit all the bullet points?
Is Black Tie getting moved to that podcast?
Well, let's just say I was in a part of the decision-making process to make it its own podcast. I felt they needed that audience, that iTunes audience.
I see.
Needed to be.
I think they need your steady hand.
Well, I am pleased on. So what? So fine. Go away. You're old news. Here's good news. Here's good new news. We have a new logo. We have a logo now, a proper one that looks like...
not just a new logo, we have a logo.
Yeah, a logo, period. Yeah, so we have that, and you can check that out on iTunes if you care to see what the graphics people designed for us.
I'm going to put it on NFL.com, too.
Oh, are you? Excellent. Yeah. Now, listen, so we went up there. The takeaway, or the big highlight, I guess, in terms of newsworthiness was Brian Urlacher of the Bears. Of course, he retired just a couple months ago. He said that he told me he would be pissed if the Bears won the Super Bowl without him this year. Mm-hmm. And that makes perfect sense to me. And yet, people are reacting to it quickly, fellas. Do you have any... I mean, certainly, it was said with a tongue-in-cheek on some level, but there's also it's a valid emotion. I don't want those guys to go on and win without me. I couldn't make it. I couldn't make it to the big party. I hope you guys have a good time. Party once they're like, yeah, it rained the whole time. It was terrible. Yeah, you didn't miss anything. That's what you kind of want to hear. True, Rank?
Yeah, I don't know if this is on the same level, but the year after I graduated from high school, our football team won the CIF title, which is the big deal. And a lot of my best friends were still playing on that team, and I was happy for them. But at the same time, as you're sitting there, you're like, great, I missed out on this. It is something that I don't know that I'm rooting against it, but it is a little bittersweet.
Sure, sure. Sessler, how say you?
Well, you're right. That's not on the same level. But I have no problem with his comments. I could see he's a bit of a salty guy, and he was saying it tongue-in-cheek. And, you know, it's going to take some time for him to turn around and want to see the Bears succeed after the way they parted. It was a little bit ugly the way they parted.
Handsome Hank.
What it tells me is that Brian Urlacher one day will make a move to the media and will be very good at it. Normally you hear from players after they've retired a bunch of sort of platitudes about how they still love their teammates, all that stuff. It's refreshingly honest. I agree with it. I think he's just telling you the truth. And it shows how he opened up to you. Maybe you guys would make a good team.
That's right. Well, that's mainly because we were drunk.
You have a bald guy sitting next to you now. You could add another one.
Yeah, imagine if Urlacher had been with Rank, he really would have opened himself up.
Yes.
Know?
That sounds dirty
deep.
Almost.
No.
All right, don't make it any worse, Rank. So I thought that was interesting stuff. And I also talked to Trent Dilfer, who to me is gangbusters. You know, you talk about a guy who cuts to it, who clearly is not concerned about hurting feelings with his opinions. He's pretty cut and dried with, I don't think this guy has an arm that is on an NFL level and so on. So I enjoy how forthright he is about these things. And I said this to him. In a vacuum, everybody loves the hyperbole, and we've talked about it on this show over the last month. The thing of like Andrew Luck is going to win multiple Super Bowls, you know, and Peyton Manning, you know, he's going to get another one, and Tom Brady, you know, he's not going to retire without another ring, and so on, and you know, Russell Wilson is going to win, and RG3 is going to win, and everybody seems to forget the fact that that sounds
like
reasonable.
Oprah giving out Super Bowls.
Yeah, listen, I think there are a lot of QBs. There are probably 15 to 20 QBs who legitimately could win or capable of winning a Super Bowl. But again, they only give out one Lombardi a year. And that's the real trick of it, isn't it? That you only get one annually. And then you throw into the mix a guy like Joe Flacco, who nobody really is looking at 1 year ago as a guy that they're going to win a Super Bowl without it. So that takes another opportunity away from the usual suspects, the guys who you consider likely to win Super Bowls. Again, the Bradys and the Mannings and so on of the world. So that brings me to this, fellas. What do you say? Who? I'm going to give you names. You tell me if they'll ever win a Super Bowl again. I'm not going to give you Colin Kaepernick or Russell Wilson because that requires way too much speculation. You don't know what's going to be over the next dozen years with those organizations necessarily. But in the second half of careers now, as the windows are closing, we can do a little bit. The speculation can be a little keener, I would expect. Mark Sessler, I start with you. Tom Brady, will he ever win a Super Bowl again?
Yes, he will. One more.
He is now. Let's talk about his life resume. Mm-hmm. He's 35.
Yeah, he's a young man.
Well, all right, but not in football terms.
Okay,
he has no receivers unless Gronkowski is ready to go. Right? I mean, he has no legitimate wide receivers. He's going to win with a defense that has not been good for 8 years now. They do have an emerging running game. Belichick, you know, they're you know the emperor. I don't want to say he has no clothes, but he's in his underpants at this point.
You know, I just think that Brady is part of a team that's kept.
When's he going to win it then?
I think
is it going to be this year?
No, not this season. I think they are in a transitional period, obviously, right now. But that
how
team,
old's he going to be? I mean, he's going to be downright old in a transition by the time they get back to where they need to be.
That they're in a transitional year the way that maybe. You know, the Detroit Lions are something. It's like they've are a team that consistently reloads, and I just think that he's the kind of quarterback that will find a way to get them back. Listen, they came twice within a play of him winning two more Super Bowls, you know, so it's I don't ever think it's a stretch to say that Brady gets back there, and I think he will.
A stretch? No. But will it happen?
Yes.
I am not so sure. Trent Dilfer actually said Brady will not. Handsome Hank. And Rank, how say you guys?
Well, first of all, I know that this isn't the point of this podcast, but I'm going to break a little news here. Tom Brady said earlier just today is Tuesday, told Peter King on his brand new website that he plans to play past the age of 40. So that informs part of this conversation. That said, I don't think Tom Brady will win another Super Bowl. I don't see, like you say, I don't see either on offense or defense how the Patriots win a Super Bowl this year. And Brady's only going to get older.
Age
does catch up with those guys. And then once it hits, and here's what we do know about those older quarterbacks, once you get that first kind of injury, whether it's an arm or a leg or a shoulder, that's kind of it. You might play another 2 years, but you never get back to the level that you were. And that happens with age. It's just the amount of times you throw a ball or the risk that you take of getting hit that many times at that age.
And you can go to NFL.com and find Elliot Harrison's good piece on that there's plenty of success to be had for QBs over the age of 35, but he's really bucking history winning a Super Bowl. And that's the trick. It's not playing well. Is he going to win a Super Bowl? And, of course, we've talked about the fact that while our perception is he's a big clutch big game winner guy, he has not played well consistently in the playoffs in some time now. Rank, how say you, Tom Brady?
He seems to play his best when he's not surrounded by a cast of all-star receivers. Now, of course, fantasy-wise, he's been putting up huge numbers when he got guys like Wes Welker and Randy Moss in 2007. However, he didn't get a Super Bowl. When he won his Super Bowls 3 out of 4 years back in the early 2000s, guys like Troy Brown, Deion Brandt, not necessarily superstar receivers. He did better with those anonymous teams. And if this defense, which I actually think is on the rise, can come together, the running game's a little bit better like it was in the early part of the decade when he was winning, I think this Patriots team might surprise some teams.
Big X factor is the Miami Dolphins. Nothing less than the Miami Dolphins. Maybe the Bills. I don't know about E.J. Manuel, but I buy Ryan Tannehill. Maybe 2013 isn't the Dolphins' year, but I think that they're legitimately building things. Yeah, they threw some money around, but I also think that the integrity of the overall roster isn't being slept on in favor of just bringing in a couple of high-price items. If that team comes on, that's the thing that the Patriots have had going for them in the entire Tom Brady era. Yes, the Dolphins have snuck in there and the Jets have been competitive. But over the course of that decade, they haven't really had stiff challenges. They always get one of those top two seeds, it seems. And I think that that is going to be a bugaboo for him. If he has to win an extra playoff game in the AFC just to get to the Super Bowl as he gets older. And again, I don't like that defense that much. I say no. Ben Roethlisberger. Handsome Hank, how say you?
Ben Roethlisberger.
31.
I think, yes, he's 31 years old. I think that's a team.
Old 31.
I don't know about that.
That's what they say.
Well, I don't care for them, whoever they might be.
Well, you've heard it, though. He's taking
he's
a physical
an old 31,
beating.
But I don't buy it. I think they are a team in transition. As a Steelers fan, surely you know this. You've got a defense that's getting up there in age and has had to lose a few parts. You've got an offense which is transitioning at the receiver position, a new running back potentially there. I think he will win another Super Bowl in his career, but I don't see it happening in the next 3 years.
Next, well, then he's going to be old. Then he'll be 35. So at best, so you see in 35.
I think he's one of those guys that's probably, you know, if you're talking about he's at the back end of the second half of his career. He's in the middle. That's
the middle
word.
Act of his
that's
three act
word.
Play.
Exactly.
Yes,
and so it's tough to see, but I don't think the Steelers are going to win a Super Bowl in the next 3 years. But you know, based on everything we know about Mike Tomlin, how the Steelers build teams, it doesn't take them that long.
Let
to
me
get
say
back.
This to you though: the problem with that is if the Steelers go, and this is a possibility in what figures to be a pretty tough division. You have the defending champions, and then you have the Bengals, who a lot of people, including Jerome Bettis, that was another compelling tidbit that came out of our conversation with him in Tahoe, is that he agrees with me. The Bengals are the best team, and then he says the Ravens, and he says Bettis does, and he keeps a close eye on those Steelers. They're the only team in the division that has not improved themselves this offseason. So, yes, that's a problem. And if they go 7-9, believe me, people are going to start rallying for Mike Tomlin's head. That will happen. And there will be, and they're one of those steady organizations that they're not just going to make firings and clean house necessarily. But Belichick is he'll be there as long as he wants to be there. He'll never get kicked out of there. But I think that there's a chance that they could say, wow, we're trying to tweak this thing and still be a winner. I could see a 7-9 year being like total blow up, start from scratch kind of thing. This is a big year. They have to be able to run the ball, I think. The Steelers have to establish that they can get back to running the ball the way they used to, in the early stages of Roethlisberger's career. And they have no number one receiver, so I think you're right this year that they can't win a Super Bowl. Rank, how say you?
For all those reasons, no, I don't see it.
Never again.
Never say never, but I
want a yes or no. Yes or never.
No, never.
Never win a Super Bowl. All right. I'm going to start with you on this one, Rank. Drew Brees.
Drew Brees.
Oh, wait. Did I not ask
Sessler? No, it's fine. It's fine.
Whatever. Go prepare for your ATL fancy pants club.
He will win one, but not in Pittsburgh.
I don't like that at all. Whoa. Where does that come from?
I think he will wind up on another team after a complete meltdown
Browns.
In Pittsburgh.
In the CFL or where?
No, in the NFL. He's going to guide another team to a Super Bowl win.
All right, if you're going to be wild with your thoughts, then now you have to speculate where that's going to happen.
Cleveland. Arizona.
Arizona?
With Bruce Arians.
Ooh, that's not completely insane, is it? I don't like it, but there's something to that one.
Interesting.
Pretty smart.
Show 173, dial it back when it happens about 3 years from now.
Yeah. Yeah. Remember that guy? Yeah. We won't mention you by name. Right. Wow, that's pretty good. All right, Rank. Drew Brees.
Yes.
Drew Brees. Yeah, I think they, you know, the Falcons, I'm turning the corner on the Falcons, and now I think I might have to redo the projections. For the training camp edition, I think I maybe have to put the Falcons into the playoffs. I think that offense is just going to be unstoppable. That said, the Saints are going to be. I think they're going to be a playoff team.
They're going to be really good too. I don't want to go into the play or the analyst just cliche ridden things about like, oh, they got a chip on their shoulder and they're going to put it all out there and leave nothing. The chance, but that's exactly what they're going to do.
Exactly what you're going to do.
That's
too.
Exactly what I'm going to do because a motivated Sean Payton is one that I don't think that the NFC South wants to deal with. I think the Saints are going to have a big year.
And you think so? Drew Brees, What is he, 34?
He came in the same year as LaDainian Tomlinson, so yeah, it'd be
34,
about that time.
Yeah, he's another guy. That's the point, is that these guys are old. They have legitimately, that's really...
He was the Chargers quarterback for a while.
In case it's not obvious that that's really the thrust of this conversation, it's not diminishing that these guys aren't good. It's just, you know, if we assume, as a lot of people do, wow, it's the Niners or the Seahawks this year. They're going to win a Super Bowl. All right, well, then all the guys we're talking about are going to be a year older. So what are the chances that they're going to do it a year later from now? Sessler, Drew Brees.
I'm going to go no on Brees.
I, you know what? I'm with you. I think that he is not going to, because I think that defense, another year, now they have Rob Ryan, who's proven to be mediocre. So the offense will be a juggernaut, but it better outscore everybody. And in today's game, that everybody scores a lot of points, or legitimate contenders score a ton of points. So it's just, they can't win. You know, let's say, are they going to win three shootouts, maybe four in January? That seems like a tall order. Handsome, how say you?
I say yes on Drew Brees, because I think that they will score a lot of points, and I think they can win shootouts in January.
All right. But this now, again, this maybe means that, well, all these names, when you say yes, it kind of assumes that they're going to do it in the next year or two. Because if they don't...
Brees' window, realistically, the names, aside from Roethlisberger, the names that you've mentioned are 3 years, it's 3 years.
All right, I'll say another one who definitely doesn't have 3 years. Peyton Manning. Sessler, how say you?
I say no. I do not think it's going to happen. It would have to happen this season, I think, for the Broncos. And I don't think it's going to go as smoothly as it did last season. I think they're going to be challenged. They have some issues in general, I think, on defense. I don't know. Peyton Manning, to me, has won his last Super Bowl.
What are their four games? They go Giants, which is winnable, but not an easy game. This is assuming Von Miller is not available to play.
Falcons are in there?
They played the Falcons last year.
Yeah, but without Von Miller, the game, that's going to be a serious problem for them.
They have a rugged schedule. It's a really rough schedule.
There's a Raiders game at the front.
Yeah.
One of those four games is a Raiders game.
Handsome Hank, Peyton Manning.
No.
I agree. I think
Peyton Manning has to do it this year. I agree with Mark Sessler. And whenever you look at those teams that are like, they do great 1 year and then everyone says, this is their year, never ever works out like that. Mm-hmm. Regardless of who the quarterback is or the situation, it's never a smooth sailing.
And not to be too simplistic, but I do think Von Miller is close to being that whole defense. I mean, not to say that they have no one capable otherwise, and their run defense should be a little bit better than it was last year, but they don't have an awe-inspiring three levels to contend with when you look at them. And if you can handle Von Miller, or if he's not on the field for a quarter of the season, then they're right out of the gate behind the eight ball rank. I know your answer, but how say you?
He's going to win this year.
Oh, my goodness. Is that right?
What? Adam Rank said
what
that.
Happened?
Wait a second.
I've just resigned myself to the fact that guys who I don't like to see win end up winning just to spite me. A-Rod in the 2009 World Series, LeBron James with his back-to-back titles, and Phil Mickelson just won the Open.
What do you have against any of those people?
Those are the bad guys in all of sports.
Why is Phil Mickelson? Explain that one to me. What's so bad about Phil Mickelson that everybody was so upset to see him? Not everybody,
but
a lot of people were upset. He seems like a nice guy. He's a family guy. Has all hugs his wife and three little girls and everything.
He seems like a red light guy. Like the red light's on, the red light of the camera's on.
Oh yeah.
And he's sitting there hugging, like, make sure they get us in. Make sure that we soak this in. Make sure that they get a good shot. We want all the...
We're seeing my face, right? I know it's...
This is me being a great guy.
To see my daughter's faces. We just get the... But it's clear that I'm a family man. I see what you're getting out there.
It just...
Maybe.
You know what's unfortunate, or probably fortunate for him? I did ask somebody who worked for Golf Digest, one of our editors here, John Marvel, and he said Phil was a good guy. And I'm like, oh, no. Because he'll let me know on some guys whether they're good guys or not. I won't get into that now. But I guess Phil Mickelson is a good guy, but I was rooting against him in the Open, and he won. So.
See, you're giving me and you a bad name when you say you root against Peyton Manning. I have no rooting interest unless he's playing the team that I root for. I don't care if Peyton Manning wins a Super Bowl.
It's become personal.
I guess you're right, because I've been attacked on Twitter often about saying I don't think he's a clutch performer, then I'm a terrible human being for saying the facts.
People always ask, like, what do you have against Peyton Manning? And for years, nothing. I just point out the fact that he loses in the playoffs every year. And now it's become a personal thing where everybody just assumes,
all right,
because I point out facts, that I'm a bad guy.
Last one. You're disputing your own facts.
I'm going with the trends.
Okay. All right, last one. And then we're going to dial up Jerry Rice here. Tony Romo. Mark Sessler, how say you?
No, I don't see it happening. Cowboys are another team that, despite whatever talent they seem to have on the roster year to year, so inconsistent.
So why can't he go to Cleveland then and do it?
I don't think that would help his situation at all.
I don't understand how you take Roethlisberger away from the Steelers. So Romo, everybody loves him. All of his defenders, all the Romo apologists. Well, he's another guy. If you say, I don't think Tony Romo is a clutch guy, this then, to people who want to argue against that, Elliot Harrison of the NFL Network, as a for instance, loves to combat the argument that Tony Romo isn't clutch and throws big games away by saying, you know, Tony Romo, you think he's horrible, and he's not. I don't think Tony Romo is horrible.
Not at all.
I think he's dynamite on a mediocre team.
Yeah.
But the fact is that if you're the main man and you carry your team to that point, it's the equivalent of an action hero in a movie dominating, getting things to a certain point, and then at the end of the movie being like, well, I'm not going to take care of this. Hey, sidekick guy. Hey, Indiana Jones in Temple of Doom saying the short round. Like, well, I mean, I've gotten this for short round. How about you do something on this and get us over the hump here? I mean, it's like, well, Tony Romo, if he's the man and he's carried him this far, then he has to continue to do that. But anyway, that's besides the point. I think Tony Romo, the problem with him is he's 33, 34 himself. He's not a spring chicken. And unlike Ben Roethlisberger, who also has taken a beating, he's a slight guy. He can't – I mean, how much more beating can he take and keep coming back and being productive in the NFL?
Well, just to be clear, though, I'm not pinning that Romo can't win games. I'm not going down that avenue. I just – on that team, I don't see it happening.
Here's the problem, and I realize he's one of the 32 men that – pays my salary, but while Jerry Jones is the Dallas Cowboys general manager, which I presume he will be for the remainder of Tony Romo's career as the Cowboys quarterback, the Dallas Cowboys aren't going to win a Super Bowl.
I am very conflicted. I wanted to make the Cowboys, I was ready to make the Cowboys my NFC East champs for 2013, and then once you're in the mix, you can conceivably go on a run, but I think it's now going to be the Eagles. Why I'm whispering it, I don't know. But I think it might be the Eagles. I say Romo isn't going to win a Super Bowl, but I will say Joe Buck, who's going to do the play-by-play of the game for Fox, made a good point. I said, what is the most compelling Super Bowl? And he said, well, if you put the Cowboys in there, wouldn't that be neat to see Tony Romo on the big stage? That would be a fascinating thing. 2 weeks of, can Romo do it? You know, even if he dominates in the postseason, we'll still be like, I don't know. It's the Super Bowl. Is he going to show up there and do it? It would really be fun. That's a great point.
Agreed.
Right, cold weather Super Bowl at MetLife Stadium.
Oh, yeah, it's cold.
Some ridiculous fumble. That would be his luck. This would be the Super Bowl gets to, and the stadium filled with New Yorkers rooting against him.
Jason Garrett says, I'll tell you what we're going to do, Tony, today. Could you be the holder?
Boy, yeah. So we basically were sort of pessimistic here. Or who was the most optimistic and who was the most pessimistic? I think I said no on everybody pretty much.
I said yes on two.
I don't want to say yes on Roethlisberger. I didn't give an answer on Roethlisberger. He's the youngest of the gang. I'm going to say that the Steelers, as a rule, don't stay down for that long. Even in the 80s when they weren't good, they were in the playoffs more than you sort of think. I think, but he's got to be able to run around and stuff. And he's not going to be able to do that when he's 35. He's not going to be running around and taking shots and still throwing the ball from behind his back to somebody. I'm going to say no for Roethlisberger.
Okay.
But if the Bengals aren't good this year, Andy Dalton isn't good, then the Steelers are a viable option come 2014. I don't know. This is a hard game we're playing.
But
you came up with it. I don't like it.
But you raised the point earlier. Like, Matt Schaub could be in line for
I think that's as good a chance as anybody. I think it's Schaub or Dalton representing the AFC. Come February.
Those two teams have met up for two of the worst playoff games in our lifetimes.
Yeah, that's true. I think Matt Schaub is this year's Joe Flacco, who was last year's Eli Manning. I think that we see Schaub get to
elite.
The Super Bowl, but he won't win.
Is Matt Schaub elite? Wait for that conversation next year.
Adam Schein.
Book me in.
All right, Black Tie. He's flapping his arms around like he has to do something or other. What?
we missed out on Michael Jordan last week. I'm not missing out on Jerry Rice. Okay.
Right. Wait, black tie. I mean, Handsome Hank wants to say something.
I just very quickly, Dave. I'm going back to the UK. I have to pay as a as a citizen. You have to go and pay your respects to a future king when they're
all
born.
All right.
So
I can't believe. I feel like. I feel like a heel. Mazel tov to you and your nation.
No,
I can't believe
that's
it.
That's not what I'm hearing.
I hear the James Bond.
Wait.
Hear the Bond theme, and that doesn't even make me think to congratulate you and your nation.
That's kind, and we appreciate your thanks. But seriously, I have to go and pay my respects. That's what, as a citizen, that's what you have to go and do. So I've been summoned by their majesties to return to the United Kingdom. But I was wondering, is there anything I can bring you, Adam Rank, black tie? Mark Sessler.
Yeah,
from
a ticket to the Steelers and Vikings game in late September. How about that?
All right.
That's what I want.
That's what you want.
I also, well, what kind of food? The English people don't make good food. I'd say fish and chips.
I bought you some amazing food last time. Some crisps.
All that brought on was controversy. All right, listen. Go. So when do you leave? You leave this weekend?
I'm leaving tomorrow.
All right, very good. Handsome Hank, we'll miss you. You'll be gone for a fortnight.
That's what we call it, yes, 14 days.
I know what a fortnight is.
All right,
tell
some
me
people
what
here
fortnight
don't.
Is.
Some people in America like
would I
fortnight?
Say fortnight Whoa. If I didn't know what a fortnight is?
I don't know.
Here's another revelation I just had, and then that's it. Then you can call up Jerry Rice. Hold on a second, Black Tie. This was stunning to me. I found out that one of our coworkers, the foreman Mitchell Swartz, and then I brought this up, and I realized many other people who work here don't know this. This isn't pigskin related. That's another thing that people don't know who Drew Pearson and Rocky Blyer are. I have come to realize that a lot of people in their 20s don't know that Paul Newman is the man behind Newman's Own salad dressing and the whole line of foods.
Oh, please.
Why, that is, how could they not know that? His face is on the bottle.
I don't know. Exactly. How could they not know that is the question. I have no idea.
That's troubling.
All right. We've said more than enough. Mark Sessler, I bid you good day and good riddance, and I'll thank you to serve as my proxy to deliver the same message to Dan Hanzus.
Well, it's a bittersweet moment, but I thank you for the many hours of enjoyment.
There are tears in his eyes. Could you be a bit nicer to him?
Listen, he's made his bed. Now it's time for him to lay in it.
Oh, right. Boy.
All right, there he goes. Mark Sessler, best wishes with the ATL, the new show, which you'll be able to find on iTunes as soon as, I guess, later this week. And Handsome Hank, travel safe. By the way, so you didn't say, so what do you want the baby to be named? It's a boy. Do we know yet?
Yeah, it's Prince Joffrey. I'm looking for King Joffrey.
They should have named him the Wolf King.
The Wolf King.
That would be awesome.
I think King Joffrey is where it's at. So that's my prediction.
That would bring it back. That would bring England back.
Wouldn't it be cool? That would black ties doing waving his arms and stuff. But wouldn't it be cool if it turned out that Prince William or whatever, the Duke of Cambridge, whoever he is now, is a huge Game of Thrones fan and wanted.
No one's afraid, right? No one fears the Queen, Mom, right. And Prince Charles.
Right, exactly.
You know, he doesn't make me. It doesn't intimidate me.
Is Prince Charles?
He's namby. He's namby pamby. But now you get
Joffrey.
The redhead, and obviously you have the redheaded stepchild,
yep.
Or whatever you want to call
Prince Harry,
whatever you want to call Harry.
Things could get pretty dark pretty quick.
Harry teaching, yeah, because listen, Harry is essentially, I mean, he's not a small person, but he's not unlike
the little guy,
the little Lannister,
the elf, whatever.
Yes, him, he could be whispering in the ear of this Joffrey,
yep.
Concocting who knows what.
Exactly.
The world would be racked with nerves,
and then there'd be you with some dragons who could come from overseas.
That's interesting.
An army of
that's something we should do at a later date. We have to figure out in real 2013 global politics who are the Game of Thrones,
Dave,
people.
That sounds like while I'm away for 2 weeks, would you? I'd like that work.
No,
on my
you
desk,
have a long,
on my desk by Monday the 12th.
You have a long flight. I'd like you to do that. You have a long flight. You can figure it all out. Do the whole map of the Seven Kingdoms or whatever it's called. All right, Handsome Hank. Enjoy your country, people. Try not to get sucked up in their soccer nonsense.
Keep
your eye on the prize.
He avoided it for most of his life.
Exactly.
I think we're safe.
I managed it for several years. Yeah. So I'll be all right.
TM Lewin for me, though.
All right. I'll get you a shirt, Adam.
All right. There he goes, Handsome Hank. And now let's get to it. The main event. All right, Rank, this is plenty good. I know you grew up a Rams fan, so
yes,
you didn't probably root for this guy.
But I didn't really enjoy him much as a player.
Yeah, but I hope he won't take that personally and hold it against the podcast here. He is, of course, the greatest wide receiver of all time, and according to NFL Network, when they put out the top 100 players of all time, he's nothing less than the number one football player of all time. He's here with us right now. It's Jerry Rice. What's the poop, fella?
How you doing? How you guys doing? You guys are excited. I'm ready to go, man. I'm raring right now.
Well, first of all, I saw you and glad-handed with you up in Tahoe last week, and I have to commend you on this. A two-sport, I mean, Bo Jackson and Deion Sanders, and they get all the headlines, but Jerry Rice, a legitimate two-sport athlete himself, out there on the putting green, everybody else is up there. It's cocktail hour in Tahoe for all the celebrities. Not for Jerry Rice, though. He's out there burning the midnight oil, putting the ball, working on his game. How'd it work out for you last weekend up there, Jerry?
Well, I needed to work on my game because I had a new putter, and I was trying to tame that putter. So I had to really put a lot of time in, and that's why I was doing extra. I would love to have been up there having drinks also, but I just felt like I needed that additional time to get comfortable with the putter. And the first round, it was a little difficult. I didn't make as many putts, but the second round, I was able to get 20 points and 17 points, but I ended up with a total of 47. So the first day was a real difficult day. And if I had putted well, if I had executed well, if I had scored in the 20s, I probably would have been in the hunt. To try to win the American Century.
Well, like I say, legendary work ethic. Obviously, you've transferred it from the gridiron now onto the links there, and I want to talk to you about some football in just a second. Real quick, though, tell us about what you're doing. You're designing, or you have a contest, and people can win $10,000. That's no jive, 10K. To help
I'm
you,
to give, I'm trying to give away some money here. Yeah.
That's all right. I know. I dig it. And you're to do it. It's to create your website so you can see all that Jerry Rice is up to now and going forward. Wix.com is the do-it-yourself web designer. There. Any other details that we need to know about to contribute here?
Well, yeah, Wix.com. You can go to Wix.com, but I partnered with Wix because I wanted my fans to have an opportunity to design my website. I wanted them to have fun. I wanted them to get involved. And the winner is going to win $10,000. We started this around July 9th. Yesterday was the last day. We have a panel of people, and the selection is going to be made on the 26th of this month. And the winner is going to win $10,000. And we wanted it to be about your creativity, originality, I was always a professional person on the football field. I'm looking forward to all the different designs. It should be exciting. So I'm happy to be a part of it. And I can't wait to see the winner and to give that individual $10,000.
$10,000. That's pretty good. Here's a question I've wanted to ask you for some time. White or brown rice?
I'm sorry?
White or brown rice? You're Jerry Rice, after all. What's your preference?
I've never been asked that question, but...
How is that possible? How could
brown
that be?
Rice.
Brown rice,
brown
huh?
Rice, yes.
What's your favorite rice preparation? You got pilaf, you got risotto... You got what else?
Risotto is real cool, but, you just give me the plain rice, brown rice, and I'm good to go.
All right. Well, let's talk about some 2013 pro football. And I just last week, Brian Urlacher, you may have heard, told me that he hopes that the Bears do well, but not too well. He doesn't want them to win a Super Bowl without him. Did that happen? You're obviously a very competitive guy yourself. Is there any part of you... Right when you left the 49ers, at least, was there any part of you that said, listen, I don't wish my friends ill, but on the other hand, I don't want them winning at all the year I walk away from the team?
Yeah, I think we all think like that because we competitors and stuff like that. And when you get released from a team or you have to move on, you don't want them to have that, incredible season the next season, but that's just part of it. And with Urlacher, what he did for the game of football, he's one of the top linebackers that ever played the game. And I'm very surprised to not see him suit up again because I still think the guy can play.
It's weird, though, because Brian Urlacher is associated with the Bears. It would seem weird to see him in a different uniform, but you did it. How were you able to do that?
Well, for me, I still have football in me, and it was just not the right time to walk away from the game. That's why I went over to the Raiders, and when I went over there, I put the uniform on, and I looked at myself, and I said, you know what, I look pretty good in this silver and black, and everybody agreed, and I went on. I had, I think the year after I got released by the Niners and I played for the Raiders, I went to the Pro Bowl, did everything. So I wanted to prove to everybody that I could still play football. Then after that, I left. I went to Seattle for a little bit and tried to to get on with the Denver Broncos for a second, but it didn't work. You know, it didn't work out for me, and I decided to retire, come back, and retired as a San Francisco 49er, and because that's really where I started. You know, my legacy is with the Niners, and I'm hoping for big things for them this coming season.
And one of the big catalysts for a big season will be Colin Kaepernick, who came not out of nowhere, but he's just another in a long line of great 49ers quarterbacks. You've had Joe Montana, Steve Young, now Kaepernick. It's not fair. I grew up a fan of the Rams. We had Dieter Brock and Jim Everett when I was a kid. That's not – first of all –
I remember Jim.
That's – we can talk about that game, but what I want to know is
– I'm not going to say anything about that game, but I remember Jim Everett.
Let me tell you something. Okay, now you've got me started. We, and I'm going to say we as at the Los Angeles Rams, we are beating you on December 11th in 1989. We are beating you by a comfortable margin. John Taylor catches two 90-yard touchdown passes. What happened in that game? I well, still, know, to this day.
Guess who was the, hey, guess who was the lead blocker? Yeah, Jerry Rice. I was leading John Taylor all the way to the end zone. I remember those long runs and stuff like that. And during practice, we always practice getting downfield, getting in position to make blocks, and I was right there to lead him into the end zone, and it was great to see.
It was, no, you're wrong. It wasn't great to see.
I ruined
my birthday.
I like Rank that you asked the question. What happened in that game? John Taylor scored two 90-yard touchdowns on you. That's what happened in that game. They were better than you. How about that?
Yeah, but I wanted to show that I was the complete player. Yes. That's why I was downfield blocking.
Well, my point was if the Rams had won earlier in Candlestick Park in that season.
All
they
right, gone, but you didn't win when it counted, Rank. We're talking to Jerry Rice. Now listen.
You know I used to hate those Rams, right?
Of course.
Why? They were the gum on your shoe. They never posed any real threat to you.
Well, this is were in our division. So you had the Rams, you had Atlanta, New Orleans, those teams, and we got a chance to see each other twice. So pretty much hated them, and I just wanted to go out there and just play my best football.
Well, you know, that actually leads me to something. You talk about division rivalry, and, you know, it's going to be a fascinating showdown, Clash of the Titans, 49ers and Seahawks, who may be the two most talented teams in the whole NFL, and they happen to be in the same division. So those battles are going to be compelling. But, you know, we just heard in the NBA, Dwight Howard, he leaves the Lakers to go to the Houston Rockets. What do you make as a legendary guy who played for one of the iconic franchises in the NFL? If you're a 25-year-old, as much as you can put yourself in a 25-year-old kid's shoes in 2013, does it matter anymore to these guys, whatever professional sport we're talking about, does it matter to be a Los Angeles Laker or a Dallas Cowboy? You know, Romo's apologists will often point to, well, he does it, but he has that star in his hat, which heightens the pressure. Is that true? Does it really make a difference anymore if you're associated with one of those legendary franchises or not?
I think with Dwight Howard, he wanted to just have fun in Los Angeles, and you can't do that with Kobe Bryant because Kobe is all about winning. So he felt like he had to leave. And Kobe is all about winning championships. And I think Dwight Howard, he just want to have fun. And that's not the most important thing for him. So I guess by him going to the Houston Rockets, okay, he can have fun. But I don't see them winning a championship with Dwight Howard.
Speaking of the kids today, Colin Kaepernick got into a little bit of trouble. He was posing with a Dolphins hat. Is that something that you could have seen Joe Montana, Steve Young doing, posing in another team's hat?
Come on, you know that would never happen. No, you know, I think with Kaepernick, he learned his lesson from that, and he's not going to do that again. And that's something I would never do because, you know, loyalty is everything. And I think if you're a San Francisco 49er, there's no way, and you the head, you the leader of that ball team, you're going to wear another team's hat or helmet or whatever. So I think he learned from that. He's a young kid. But one thing, I have met him. I know how competitive this guy is. He always going to work hard. He has the rocket arm. He can run like a deer, and he's always going to just leave everything out on the football field. So I give him that one, but, you know, you just can't do that.
So you do think then, because of that, I guess that's what I was getting at with my question a couple minutes ago, is do you think these guys care the way you do? You say 25 years later, man, I hated those Rams. Do people care? Do these players these days care about rivalries the way that players in your era did?
Yeah, without a doubt. And, guys, I'm going to use this as an example. Think about RG3 wearing a Cowboys hat.
Yeah, it would be terrible.
What would that be like?
Yeah, from Texas, too. Right.
You look at the rivalries and stuff like that. You look at the NFC West right now, where Seattle done gotten better, Arizona done gotten better, also St. Louis. And it's not going to be easy for the San Francisco 49ers this year because, you know, with Seattle, they got those two big corners that they pretty much had outnumbered last year. And they bring in Percy Harvin. And Seattle, they were averaging around 37 points the last six games. Now you bring in a weapon like that, so they got significantly better. The Niners lost Michael Crabtree. Now they lost their guys to run after catch and also their threat outside. So some of the young guys going to have to step up. And then you go to Arizona where Carson Palmer left the Raiders. Now he's with Arizona. And hopefully he's going to really help that offense out a lot. So, and St. Louis got better. So it's going to be difficult in the NFC West. But I'm still rooting for my Niners to get it done.
Yeah, that division is plumb scary. There's no dead weight there. People make their jokes about the Cardinals. But like you say, they should be vastly improved just for having a competent QB. You're obviously a competitive guy on all fronts. It comes up, it seems, in almost every comment you make. You can hear that you still have some competitive fire. So, Calvin Johnson, it's a passing league much more than it was when you were playing, although you were in that West Coast offense. Still, Calvin Johnson is in the ballpark of on pace to catch you statistically. Everybody raves and oohs and ahs about him. What do you make? Where do you come down on Calvin Johnson potentially breaking your records?
You know, I feel records are meant to be broken, but if you are not in contention or anything like that, then it's going to be a little bit easier to put up big numbers because teams not going to worry about you. You know, I did. The majority of my record breaking and stuff like that when we were winning football games, winning championships. So I think with Calvin Johnson right now, and I really admire what he did because still to get almost to 2,000 and you know, catch so many balls, that shows that this guy is dedicated and he has his heart in the right place and he works hard. But unless they're winning football games, then it's going to be different because now teams going to double you. They're not going to play you one-on-one. And he's getting a lot of that at the moment because they're not winning football games.
Real quick, and then we'll let you go. You've been generous already with your time. Wait, you know, the reason I think it's an easy hypothesis to make here, the reason you were named the number one player in NFL history is because the difference between you and the next guy at your position is probably the greatest distance of any in football.
You'd have to go back to the 30s to find somebody.
Who do you consider, who does Jerry Rice say is the second best wide receiver in NFL history?
Oh, my God.
Who do you see?
Put me on the spot.
Well, like, you could go Calvin Johnson. You could go T.O. No, you could go, you know, there are a lot of ways you could go.
You know, you got from Terrell Owens, you got from Calvin Johnson, you got Larry Fitzgerald, you got so many other guys that, you know, a lot of young guys that's really going to put up outstanding numbers, because this is more of a passing league now. But, you know, I think right now, Terrell, he's probably second behind me in touchdowns. And he always wanted to break out the popcorn and do all of that. But the guy was an animal on the football field. But, you know, I think it's probably it's going to boil down to Calvin Johnson and Larry Fitzgerald towards the end. Because, you know, these guys got the large contracts, but they still are workaholics. And I like to see that, because so many guys get in position, they get the big contracts, then all of a sudden they disappear. These guys are getting better, and they're going to go out there and compete every season.
All right, you wore the Seahawks uniform. We'll discount that one. Raiders or 49ers, who had the better uniform?
49ers, what are you talking about?
Because the Raiders looks good, that black jersey and the silver pants.
Hey, my legacy is with the San Francisco 49ers. I bleed 49ers.
I like the loyalty there. I like that. And obviously, we don't even have to discuss Mississippi Valley State as a good uniform. Cool. Now,
oh, that's hot. The Delta Devil? Yeah, man. You know, the Christmas
colors. The Christmas colors. Ugh. You and Deacon. But I'll tell you, on that top 100 list all time, it's pretty amazing that Deacon Jones and Jerry Rice, that Mississippi Valley State had two guys on there up there with
best receiver,
Alabama
the best...
and every, you know, Alabama, USC, everybody else.
Hey, guys, but you know what? I work hard for this. Anything that I put on, I'm going to make look good.
Very true.
You know what? And you, I'll tell you, you really did make it look good, Jerry Rice, because I say all the time, the thing that is phenomenal about you, when I think back on you, unlike Lynn Swann or a guy like that, it seems like you never dove for a football. It seemed like you always caught the ball in stride, in full speed. How is that? It really
always,
is
always well ahead of Jerry Gray and the rest of the Rams.
Just grace. Yeah, just great. Never had to lay out for a ball.
That was something that I really worked on, guys, all week long. And that's being able to be explosive the last 5 yards, dig, and just run out of that football. So, you know, preparation is everything, and that's something I never wanted to do. I never wanted to leave my feet. I always wanted to catch the ball, and my feet was in constant motion. So that last 5 yards, you bury your head, and you dig, and you get to that football.
Boy, a lot of receivers these days should take lessons from Jerry Rice, because that is something that it seems like guys like making the highlight reel catches more than catching the ball in stride. Either way, Jerry Rice, what a delight. Good luck with the golf game. Good luck with the development of the website there. Of course, it's Jerry Rice Design Off Contest, Wix, WIX.com, and if you help Jerry out there, you can win
$10,000, baby.
My goodness, that's a lot of loot there. All right, fella, a pleasure. When you're in L.A., we'd love for you to visit us here in Studio 66.
Make sure I come by, guys.
All right, excellent. There he is.
Right. Thanks, Jay.
Greatest wide receiver of all time, Jerry Rice.
David
That was fun, Rank. He had some interesting thoughts. I don't have that gene necessarily, that I'm so competitive all the time about everything, but it's instructive, I guess, for anybody out there. Although I think you kind of have to, if you can, it's what you always hear about Michael Jordan and Joe Montana. You always hear those stories about him, about that the chip on your shoulder that you have to, even if you don't have somebody who's creating a reason for you to have the fire in your belly to beat them, you have to concoct it. And I feel like Jerry Rice is one of those guys.
Yep. It's one of those things, too. They always say never meet your heroes because you'll be disappointed. Don't talk to somebody who you grew up not liking.
Yep.
And then have them be pleasant, because now I don't know how to feel. I spent my whole adolescence rooting against Jerry Rice, and now that was a except, you know, he was
me. You know my thing with the Ravens. How am I supposed to dislike them when they behave nicely?
Isn't I now see what you've gone through with Brendan Iambadejo and some of the other delightful Ravens who have come through. So yes, I understand your plight now.
All right. Well, listen, Rank, you're going off on vacation now,
and then the Hall of Fame.
Oh yeah, when's Hall of Fame? Next week.
Next week.
Oh, really?
Next week.
Oh, well, so you're gone all next week. Be on the lookout. That reminds me and Warren Sapp jumped into the sports car, and we took a little ride. I attempted to take him to Canton, but then I realized I had other things to do. But anyway, I don't want to spoiler alert.
I've seen a first cut. It's very good.
Sapp and I jumped in the car. We talked about it all, where to wear the gold jacket, where not to, all that sort of thing. And so we get into that. Be on the lookout for that. That'll be up there in the next few days. Rank, I'm sad to not be making the trip to Eastern Ohio with you. And of course, the better way to go, you can fly into Cleveland, but mm-hmm. the smart man flies into Pittsburgh, drives the extra half hour to Canton because you can make a pit stop at Primanti's.
I've made it a special point to not fly to Pittsburgh if I'm not with you. If you were going, that's exactly what I would have
done. We could have stopped off and seen a ball game.
Oh, I would have loved it.
Oh, and PNC Park as those Pirates try to get off the schneid, get to 20-some more wins, and finally break that terrible losing streak. All right, well, listen. Jerry Rice, what a delight. Black tie, less so. Thanks to Handsome. Good luck to Mark Sessler and the rest of the ATL boys. ATL podcast coming at you at some point this week. Rank, have a swell vacation. We'll see you when you get back. Next, later on this week, we're going to be kibitzing with Michael Fabiano, of course, the king of fantasy football here at NFL. We'll get you some thoughts as you prepare for your draft. Also, I think we're going to talk to Akbar, another fantasy talker, but also a guy who pulls back the curtain and tells everything we need to know about what happens in those NFL locker rooms. We've kibitzed about a couple of issues. Well, I think you'll find it enjoyable, some of the things that we're going
to talk
about.
If it gives him a chance to brag, yes.
About his manhood. All right, well, listen. There, thus ends the thing. But again, NFL.com/Shek, S-H-E-K. All those video interviews, or at least highlights of them, up there for your perusal. Barkley, Dilfer, so on and so forth. Buck, A.J. Hawk, and I singing. Steph Curry and I shooting golf balls. All that jazz. Check it out. We'll be back with more Huey and Applesauce later on. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.